All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week, we are talking about some upcoming episodes that we have. We have some themes, some not themed games. We're planning our schedule a little bit, and we're just going to talk about our process about how we pick the decks for the episodes that we play.
We're having a meeting. We're kind of combining a meeting in with the podcast a little bit.
It's going to be a two-for-one, a two-in-one.
But I think this will be a fun thing for Play to Win fans to listen to, though.
We have 3 weeks booked right now with Nate, Tyler and Brandon, are three guys that also play for us on the channel sometimes. With only just us, we're going to try to do three separate recordings and have two matches in each of those recordings. So we have basically six episodes that we're going to be filming.
Correct. Yes, exactly. And we have a couple of themes that we want to stick to, a couple of parameters that we want to go with. So we want to try to fill out these themes while also keeping in mind that there will be decks submitted by patrons later this month that I don't quite have yet. I just made the post today right before we started recording.
We do have some lists that have already been submitted though, right? That we're going to try to fit in here.
They were old lists from a little bit ago, but we are going to fit them in too.
We already have lists that we have to play, right?
Exactly, yeah.
I kind of think that we should start with those lists because those are the lists that we have to play, and if we can make themes around those lists, that seems like a good starting point.
I love that idea, and I think one's pretty easy to go off of because it is a Max and 11 deck submitted by Nichols Godo 9.
Yes, this is one that we have had on our list for a while that we want to revisit the best universes beyond Commander.
And honestly, he kicked my ass with this deck at the last Play to Win tournament at Cloud City, which makes me really excited to get this deck on the show.
Max and 11 is green Grixis, right? You're in Sans White?
Correct, because you have 11, which is your Grixis commander, and then Max, which is your Gruul commander. They have Friends Forever, and 11 is your card advantage commander, because whenever she attacks, lets you draw a card, and her other abilities basically flavor text.
But sometimes maybe we'll let your Ad Nauseam be free?
Which would be really sweet if you have 11 cards in your hand. And then Max, I want to relook up what Max does, because he has haste, and whenever you cast your second spell, you investigate?
Maybe, I'm not exactly sure.
Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, untap target creature, then investigate.
Then investigate, okay.
Yeah, Max kind of acts like a Valley Flood Caller in your deck for every creature that you have, which I think is kind of really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, you said the best universe is beyond commanders.
Yes, this has been a theme that we've wanted to revisit for a little while now. We've done it once before. We were played a couple universes beyond commanders, but this was like very early on in the beginning, and since then there's been a ton of new ones, and Max and 11 is definitely one that I think is like close enough. Like you can get to basically a Grixis CDH deck with a couple flavorful ads and people don't know exactly what you're doing. So I think that's a good spot to be. But I think there's at least like three others that we could play.
But there is a lot more that we can add because I think the last time that we did, we should look up the commanders that we played last time.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
That we did this because when we did do this last time, there were only like three different universes beyond sets that were out.
Yes, there wasn't a lot. It was super early on.
Yeah, it was Dalsum, Marnius, Abaddon, the Despoiler, and then Will Lucas Lurrus.
Oh, okay. All right. So as long as we don't do those in this next one, I think we'll be good to go.
Well, Max and 11 aren't Lucas or Lurrus or Will.
Right. So we're still good there.
And then we basically want to avoid 40K commanders because we did the best two ones.
Yeah, I think so.
And we also did the best Street Fighter one, but that's also okay because we've had a ton of universes beyond stuff that's come out even since these.
First one that comes to mind right now for me is Storm. We haven't had Storm on the channel yet, and I think Storm actually has some potential. Not sure how, like if it's going to be the best of the best, but I think you can certainly make a decent CDH deck out of it.
I think that is a good excuse to get Storm on the channel. So I do think that she's one that we could consider, even though my only fear about Storm is that she's not the best.
You don't think so?
I don't know. Well, it'll depend. It'll depend on what else we come up with.
We should do a quick Scryfall search of universes beyond commanders, because right off the top of my head, I don't know. It's hard to rattle off which ones are the best.
Look at this. You can criteria universes beyond. And then that way I can also do legendary as a super type as part of my search.
Can you like sort it by EDH top rec?
Sorted by EDH rec rank. Yes. Jeez, I guess we have all of the Lord of the Rings sets that we could pick from too.
Yeah, we probably should pick at least one from Lord of the Rings.
Even though that set was a little bit lacking in the CEDH commanders department.
It was just the Abzan. It was like the Frodo and Sam pairing that was like almost something, right?
But I don't think ever really got anywhere. The one that I've seen come through, there's two that I've seen come from the Lord of the Rings set a little bit more. One of them is the Aragorn, the Uniter, the four-color Aragorn, because he is a food chain commander, and he's four colors that can, like, Underworld Breach and do, like, all kinds of good stuff. And then the other one is the big...
Sauron.
Yeah, Sauron. The big Grixis one that lets you, like, refill your hand, basically.
Yes, I have seen that one also do a little bit, not a ton, but those are the two that come to mind for me that I think we can at least consider some of those.
And we're not going to choose... like reskinned versions of other cards. Like we're not going to choose King Theoden Kenrith.
Oh, nah, that's kind of boring.
That sounds pretty lame, right? Yeah. So like Dr. Ian Malcolm Atla Polani, we're not going to have on the show.
No, that could be another theme that we do, but no, I don't think so.
Okay, I think that's fair. And that will take out a lot of the Jurassic Park ones then. Pretty much anything Jurassic Park we got was all just reskins.
It was all reskins.
I guess we could look into, was there anything from the Assassin's Creed sets that we got?
I don't remember there being anything.
Like Ezio, I think was really the best one.
Kind of just like a generic five color, you can play it with Lurrus Commander.
Ooh, you know what? We should get the Wise Mothman on here.
Oh,
I feel like
the Wise Mothman is one.
The Wise Mothman I think is definitely going to be a go-to, which means I don't think that we want to play the other bug food chain deck from there, the Master Transcendent.
Yeah.
I think so too. Do you think the Master Transcendent or Wise Mothman is better?
That's tough. The Wise Mothman I see more often.
But I think that's because people like it more. Because the Master Transcendent, I learned when we went to one of the Magic Cons, that is the bad guy from the original Fallout game.
Okay.
And I think there's way more people that have played games like Fallout New Vegas 4, 5, instead of like the original that would have been for consoles that a lot of people coming into video games growing up wouldn't have had.
So you think
I guess
we'll get some more extra Fallout viewers on this video if we choose this other commander?
I think so too. Well, we'll get to tag all of the other universes too. Yeah. So,
and we haven't done the other one nearly as much, if at all.
I don't think we've had the Master Transcendent on as... on like at all either.
They're basically the same thing.
Well, the Master Transcendent like lets you cheat out Nezahual and like other big creatures into play a little bit easier, whereas like the Wise Mothman just gets +1/+1 counters on him and also acts as a beater. So like there are side pocket situations for when they can't food chain you to death are a little bit different.
They're both food chain outlets, though?
They're both food chain outlets, yeah, because Wise Mothman gives everyone infinite rad.
Yep.
And then when it enters, when the Master Transcendent enters, you give someone 2 rad.
Okay, so you can just give someone, then someone else,
and
someone else.
I think that's how it's worded specifically.
Right? Double check on that. If that's the case, I'm certainly down to try the other one. That's not Wise Mothman.
When it enters, target player gets 2 rad counters.
Okay, yeah, let's do that one.
Let's do the Master Transcendent.
The Master Transcendent, yeah. So we get the Master Transcendent, we have Storm, we have Max and 11.
And then...
what color's not represented too much? White. There's no white so far. We don't have white at all.
There's no white.
What is our other patron-submitted deck that we have so far?
Flubs the Fool.
Flubs the Fool. So that one, that doesn't
matter. That doesn't work here.
We'll think about that for another one.
No, yeah. But we are gonna back pocket that.
Any of the other commanders that you're looking at from the Universes Beyond have white in their color identity?
Taking a scroll. What other places did we go?
Dude, beats me.
While I'm looking at this.
Can I see?
Yeah, take a look. I'm trying to think of like the other places that we went to.
Can we hear? How do we? What if we sort? Oh, your mouse every time drives me insane.
I do it the way that it's supposed to. I grew up with scrolling in that direction. It's how it's in my brain. Do we want to bring back? Ooh, what do you? What do you?
No, go ahead. You got something.
Do you want to bring back the mono white Gandalf? The flash stacks?
There's no way that's good. I was thinking Lotho.
That would be better. But have you seen Lotho?
I haven't seen a Gandalf deck at all. I have seen a couple people try Lotho, for sure. You don't think it's good.
Man, I feel like we're just trying to force a color into this pod for the sake of it being there, if that's the case.
I think it's good to have a well-balanced pod. There's got to be some commander from Universes Beyond that has white in the color identity.
Maybe not one that's
good.
Someone's
screaming at home that yes, there is. It's this one! It's this one! I've reached Farmer Cotton, and I haven't seen anything exciting yet.
That means that there's
Aragorn.
Aragorn would have white.
Aragorn has
Why
don't
we just do Aragorn the United then? So let's that would
do
be
Aragorn
that
the United. Yeah, that sounds like a good mix. We don't have Lord of the Rings yet.
We don't have Lord of the Rings in this
and
pod.
And that's two food chains, but food chains win games. So that's great.
I mean, honestly, how else are decks going to win?
How else are we going to win? Okay, yeah. So I like this pod. So this is one out of six pods locked in. This is our Universes Beyond pod.
Correct, yeah. So we got Max and 11, Storm, the Master Transcendent, and Aragorn the Uniter. That's nice that that's four different universes, too.
Yes, I like that. Okay.
I like that as well. Okay.
We have a couple of jotted ideas written down for some other themes that we were thinking about.
Yeah, this one is mostly done, and I think this will be just an easy knock this one out of the park.
Okay.
This is the best One Ring deck.
Oh, yes.
And that doesn't just mean that we're just going to play the four best decks in the format because they all play the One Ring anyway.
And that's not exactly true, I don't think, anymore. But we're specifically using the commanders that utilize the One Ring the best.
That's what we mean. Yeah, things that are trying to untap stuff throughout the game.
For me, first one that comes to mind, a commander that I've played before, is Shorakai.
Shorakai, yeah.
Because you already want to untap Shorakai. You already want to put other cards in your deck that untap artifacts. You want to untap stuff already. Yeah. So there's just so many layers on top of the One Ring stuff.
We're really looking for decks that want to play Voltaic Key and Manifold Key, really.
Stuff that wants to tutor for artifacts, because it's really nice when your tutors can sometimes find a win condition, which in Shorakai, there are artifacts that can help you win the game, or can sometimes just find the One Ring, which can just draw you cards.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, Shorakai does make a lot of sense. I think that for the same reason, Urza would make a lot of sense then too, because that's another deck that can benefit from playing all of the keys and really plays all the artifact tutors because all of its win conditions are artifact based.
Can I mention one more card for Shorakai?
Yeah.
The clock, not the one that's in Magda.
Unwinding clock?
Unwinding clock. At the beginning of each upkeep, untap all artifacts.
See, that's why I thought Urza too, because if there's any other deck that could utilize that well, it would be Urza. Like allowing you to untap all of your artifacts all the time, tap them down, get Urza activations at instant speed, and probably not be able to cast the artifacts because Urza has to obey timing restrictions, but at least it's like other stuff that you could do.
Yes, I completely agree. Yeah. So, and obviously like the artifact ones, those are softballs. Those are easy. Urza is, I think, an obvious great include. We include Urza a lot because I think Urza is still great. I think people love that one. Shorakai.
Especially now that Dockside's gone too.
Especially now that Dockside's gone. Play all the artifacts. Who cares? Play
exactly.
20 artifacts. Doesn't matter at
Even
all.
Even better that Shorakai is an option now too.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Shorakai also benefits from that of just like wanting to dump out all our artifacts, but not wanting to feed Dockside now, that doesn't matter. So the boat and Urza. What else?
Derevi is another one that every time I think of the One Ring, I think of Derevi.
Yeah, dude. I feel like the One Ring has made Derevi like a much more powerful deck.
Oh, especially because you can stack your Derevi triggers onto the One Ring so that if you hit with three creatures, you can put all of them on the One Ring, draw some cards. After you untap it, in response to the next trigger, draw some more cards, untap it, and then in response to the next trigger, draw some more cards.
Derevi, I think, is a great one. And also, this one's nice because it also includes green, which is now we have another color. But so far, we have blue, we have blue-white, we have blue-white green.
Oh, I kind of love this direction that we're going in then because the next deck that I would want to add would be a Seedborn Muse deck. And what's a better Seedborn Muse deck than Thrasios Timna?
Thrasios Timna.
So then we just add black to the pile then.
We're missing red though. There's no red?
There's no red, but that's okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what's the best One Ring deck in red? Like, I would think Magda, just because Magda can search it up at instant speed, but it doesn't give you the protection, and it's actually really not that good in Magda.
You don't play keys in Magda.
No, and most of the time, you want other artifacts. The new 6-mana artifact, the Nexus of Beginning or Burgeoning, whatever that card is.
What does that do?
At the beginning of combat on each of your turns, you get to draw a card and then exile a card from your hand. If that card was a creature or artifact, you make it a 3/3 artifact copy of it.
Yep.
So it turns your non-artifact dwarves into artifact dwarves. It turns your uncastable God Pharaoh statue into your hand, into a 3/3 God Pharaoh statue.
It's an artifact still, yep.
And I guess that also does turn your The One Ring into a 3/3 indestructible The One Ring, but
it's already indestructible.
And it's an infinite blocker is all that it really does for that, which is not really something that you need in Magda. No one's attacking you for using your life total.
Okay, yeah, I guess. The only issue that I have with the Timna Thrasios is that deck isn't really a One Ring deck. It works well with Seedborn Muse. Would we build a version of the deck that is like a One Ring deck? that's like more of a One Ring version?
Could do that, but if there's a deck that could revolve around the One Ring a little bit better, I feel like I would rather play that in this pod, because it's not the strongest deck that plays the One Ring.
Yeah, the other things that I'm thinking of are other like mono blue artifact commanders that like search it up. Like there's the one, the Master. It used to work with Paradox Engine a lot.
Oh, Arkham Dagsum.
Arkham Dagsum, yeah. But we already have Urza, and I feel like Urza is just better. But it doesn't work as well with the One Ring.
Yeah, I feel like you want to find a combo piece with Arkham Dagsum.
Yeah,
instead. But okay. I guess Arkham Dagsum also does work well with Portal to Phyrexia too.
Okay, yeah, but we want to focus on the One Ring.
I guess Arkham Dagsum does like force the One Ring into play.
What does Arkham Dagsum do?
That's Let's double check that question. Target artifact creatures controller sacrifices it. That player may search their library for a non-creature artifact and put it onto the battlefield.
Yeah, so you can like find the One Ring with this, which, and Urza doesn't directly work with the One Ring in any way, does it?
No, but this deck makes you also play like bad artifact creatures so that you can use the ability though.
If we're after a commander that searches for an artifact, I would obviously want Magda before I want this, right?
I think so. But what I like about Urza in this pod is that it is a keys deck.
It's very comfortable playing the keys already.
It's not that Urza is good with the One Ring. It's that the entire deck is good with the One Ring.
Yeah, I think, and that's better. You want a better, we want a better 99 over like a cute commander. We are trying to stay on theme, we still want it's CDH. We're playing to win. We want it to be at the best deck possible.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. Sure. And I still think that Thrasios Timna does not necessarily meet that requirement unless we can't find something better.
Okay. So, yeah. So we have Urza, we have Derevi, we have Shorokai, definitely.
Yeah. And then
just Ban. So we would need something with, is there anything that has black and red that we could justify as a good, the One Ring deck to balance it out? Or should we just say, nah, it didn't have to be color balanced. Let's just make for the best, the One Ring deck.
I don't think it has to be color balanced. Okay. I think that if we did, we'd be looking at Impskeer, which is just like the next best artifact red deck, or Duretti, I guess, maybe. Planeswalker Duretti.
Yeah, maybe. Can we look at the database real quick? Just the decklist database, and just do a quick scroll and just see what of these decks are used in the One Ring?
Yes, we can do that. And we're looking at red decks specifically.
I mean, if we can include red or black, that's great. But ideally, no, we just want the next best, the One Ring deck.
The next best, the One Ring deck. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oswald. Not red or black, but Oswald is a great One Ring deck.
Oswald, yeah. Because that does have a way that you can get the One Ring.
I'm pretty sure there are Oswald lists that use the One Ring quite a lot. And their like whole line is to like untap the One Ring a bunch.
Not on the database.
No.
You know who might have one?
Give it to me.
Let's go to Spice Rack. Because what we're going to do...
Oh, I remember. Yeah, we had at our tournament, there was a top 16 Oswald list.
Yeah, there was. I want to take a look at that. So the best way for me to find this right now...
SpiceRock.gg.
Go to our last tournament of CEDH video.
Oh, yeah, in the podcast, and YouTube is in the description.
All the deck list. Yep. All right, yeah, so Oswald got fifth place by Dalton.
Any of the One Rings in the list?
Dude, there's no artifacts in this deck. Could you imagine?
It's all deception.
Can you imagine? Yeah, there is a One Ring in this deck.
Okay.
All right, do you want to try to learn Oswald real quick?
Real quick, any untappers? Any cards that help the One Ring significantly?
All
what
right,
do you
see? Let's see. Okay. Let's take a look at the artifacts. I feel like that's the slot that'll do that the best. Look at this. Clock of Omens.
Oh, perfect. All right.
Wonderful. That will untap the One Ring. There is Manifold Key in this deck.
Nice. Okay.
A 1,000-year elixir only untaps a creature, but there is Voltaic Key here as well. What does Voyager Staff do? One generic mana for an artifact. For two generic and sacrificing it, you can exile a creature and return the exiled card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step.
Oh.
This is just...
Is this removal that you can find or protection if you need to?
Yeah, this is basically Touch the Spirit Realm
on an artifact.
On an artifact
that
you can
good.
Search up
that seems
at
great.
One.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. What is this card? Pre-war former wear. Pre-war formal wear. This is from the Fallout set. It's 2 and a white for an equipment. When it enters the battlefield, return target creature card with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield and attach the formal wear to it. And the equipped creature has +2/+2 and has vigilance. This card's busted.
Is that Sun Titan?
This is a Sun Titan.
That's not Sun Titan.
That also gives a bonus to the creature when it comes back.
I love it. That's perfect.
This card is sick.
All right, so you should play this Oswald list. when we battle.
Just because it has that Sun Titan card.
Because it has that Sun Titan card in it, which is your favorite card.
Honestly, and it has Marvin Murderous Mimic in it. And I've been thinking a lot about how awesome Marvin is in a lot of decks.
Yeah, I think they should be. And it's okay that we don't have red or black. It's just these are the best One Ring decks because I think they are. The Oswald can find it. Urza, it works really well with it and it's just perfect blue artifacts. Derevi untaps it and Shorakai has a ton of things that want to untap it.
Yeah, I think that because Shorakai, Urza, and Oswald, their whole decks are based around being able to untap creatures and artifacts and pretty much anything that they need to get value. I do think that that makes them the best One Ring decks.
Okay.
So I really like this pod.
Second pod, done.
Two down, four to go.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
We want to get flubs in here.
We do need to get flubs in here.
Should we work a theme around flubs?
Let's try to work a theme around flubs.
We can revisit Best Frog. We've done it before, and for somehow I think there are
there's way more frogs.
We could do a whole new pod,
dude, honestly,
of playable frogs.
Because best frogs, oh, I got to start this column over here.
I don't know why there's so many frogs that are like just almost basically CDH playable.
Because we went to Bloomburrow, and that was a whole new kindred that we had. So like Flubs is going to be on there.
Should we do best frogs, or should we do best storm, or should we do... Best Storm is like one of our better performing decks ever, I think, when we did like a Best Storm deck.
When we did the Best Storm deck. Okay, well, let's we can kind of figure out either. What would we do for Best Frogs? Going back to Best Frogs, we'd have Flubs and Glarb. Are we trying to repeat Frogs? Like, would we say that Gitrog is still acceptable?
I don't know. Yeah, because the other ones that we did were Gitrog, the blue-green one. What's it called? You know it?
It has
croak counters. It's a Hermit Druid deck.
I know what it looks like.
Yeah, that one.
I know what it does. Grawlnok.
Grawlnok is what it is.
We got there.
Grawlnok, Gitrog. I did the two of them, Yargle and Multani.
Yeah, because that's a frog.
Big giant one. And then who was the fourth?
Probably Thalia and the Gitrog.
Oh, Thalia
monster.
And the Gitrog. Yeah. Have there been any other legendary frogs printed recently? Can you double check and see if there's anything that's close?
Oh, I can double check. Oh, yeah, I can.
Playable frogs. Give us playable commander frogs.
Frog legendary. There's a new Gitrog monster, the Ravenous Ride.
Oh, what does it do?
They made him a saddle, trample in haste on a 6/5, saddle 1. And when he deals combat damage to a player, you can sacrifice a creature that's saddled at this turn. If you do, you draw X cards and then put up to X land cards from your hand onto the battlefield tapped, where X is the sacrificed creature's power.
As haste?
It has haste, yeah, trample and haste.
It seems really good.
It seems pretty good,
like,
yeah.
I don't think like CDH good, but doesn't that just seem kind of nuts?
Every game in draft that I resolved this card, I won.
Holy shit.
Oh,
you draw cards
nuts.
And put lands into play equal to the creature's power?
Correct, yeah.
And you get that
you
when
sacrificed it.
And you get that when it attacks.
When it deals combat
when
damage
deals
to
combat,
a player.
But
it
has
also
haste.
Has trample.
And has haste and trample.
On a 6/5 for 5.
So crazy.
Also, the saddle's only 1. So just
holy
these
shit.
Dumb little throwaway
anything,
creatures,
whatever.
You just cycle.
And it's
yeah.
at least draw a card, maybe put a land into play. Or you can sacrifice a big thing that already got its value.
So if you saddle it with Yargle and Multani.
That's good.
That's really good. But
is it playable, though? Is it CDH good?
Honestly, Bloomburrow gave us a whole play group.
What else do we have?
Because it gave us Helga, Skitterish Seer, which
oh,
we played,
played
for
on the channel.
We did play on the channel, yeah, which we didn't really get to see it,
it didn't
do too
anything.
Much.
Yeah.
No, which could be a reason to bring it back, or it just means it's bad. And then the other one is Clement, the Worrywart.
The who?
Do you know this one? This is 1, a blue, and a green for a 3/3 with vigilance. It's a frog druid. When it or another creature you control enters, return up to 1 target creature you control with lesser mana value to its owner's hand. Frogs you control have tap, add green or blue. Spend this mana only to cast creature spells. Honestly, it's almost good.
Can it bounce any creature or just frogs?
It can bounce any creature you control with lesser mana value than the thing that entered.
Okay, so need something else.
It can bounce probably. A two drop that you control.
Is there any like Shrieking Drake type shenanigans that you can do? But no, because eventually you have to start it over again. I don't know. What do you see here?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. I thought maybe, like if you have Valley Flood Caller, being able to untap it and do stuff with it is good. But it can only use that mana to cast creatures. Valley Flood Caller gives non-creatures flash. Like it's a very awkward set of interactions.
Yeah, we don't have to do best frog. Let's not do best frog. Let's do like best storm commander or something. Okay, revisit best storm commander.
Should storm be a deck that we play storm commander?
I think it's okay to revisit because we can space these out a little bit.
We haven't had storm on the channel. We should have storm on the channel a few times.
Yeah, okay. So I think, okay, I agree. Storm, Flarbs.
Flarbs.
Storm, Flubs. Normally we have Kraken Sakashima here. Do we want to continue having that?
Yeah, how good is Kraken Sakashima right now?
I think it's pretty okay.
Still really good?
I don't know. I think so.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit behind on my tournament knowledge.
I think it's been all right. I don't know. What else? We could do Kraken Silas?
We could do Kraken Silas. Let's take a look at what we had last time.
Okay.
Because maybe just knowing that we don't want to repeat.
Yeah, just YouTube play to win best Storm. I think we did it twice.
We did do it twice. Yeah, we had Rograk Silas, Cody, Ezio, Luris, and Kraken Sakashima for the most recent one with the Bufftown Bullies.
Yep.
And the first time we did this was with
Ken and Brielle.
Yeah. And that was Kaikar, Yidris, Orvar, and Kraken Sakashima.
Okay, so I think we should bring back Kraken Sakashima again since it's already been in two of them. It is like the signpost storm deck for CDH, I feel.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, so we got Kraken Sakashima, we got actual storm, we got flubs. Can you think of any other CDH stormish commanders?
Every Underworld deck that's in blue plays Brain Freeze. Is that a storm deck?
Yeah, not necessarily. We're looking for a deck that specifically rewards a storm-like behavior throughout the game.
Is Anala a storm commander?
Stormish, but not really.
Without any storm cards?
Yeah, no.
Flubs counts because Flubs...
Your whole thing is you're drawing through your deck as you draw it.
They play Grape Shot, too. Yeah. Are there any other decks that play Grape Shot?
Is Burgi still playable?
In the 99.
Not as a commander, you don't think?
I don't think anyone has seen Burgi in the command zone in a long time.
It's a shame.
Technically, original Narset doesn't count because you're not really building a storm count since you're getting turns and starting new turns over. Stella Lee doesn't really count because you're copying
almost
the thing.
Though. Like you want to cast a certain amount of spells, really just three.
Yeah, that's really it. You want to cap out.
Right, which is kind of the opposite of what storm is supposed to be. Elsha Top? Technically, that Sensei's Divining Top line going is casting through a spell over and over again.
Yeah, all right. I think Elsha Top is definitely an option.
Let me see if in this first list that I see here, let me see if I see a card with Storm on it. Oh, look at that. Brain Freeze. Okay, perfect.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. I like Elsha Top a lot. I have a buddy who plays a lot of Elsha.
We haven't had Elsha on the channel in a while, and I still think it's pretty good. It fits that Jeskai strategy, I think, kind of perfectly.
It's another deck that got better with the bans because now there's no Dockside Extortionist to hate on what it's doing.
There's no Mana Crypt or Jewel Lotus to cast your 5-mana commander, though. That's true,
but it's a slow format, though. And doesn't she also give some shit flash?
You can cast... What does she do?
You may cast non-creature spells from the top of your library. If you cast a spell this way, you may cast it as though it had flash.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
So you can set up the combo to go off at instant speed.
It's like a Glarb, but in Jeskai colors.
That's cracked. Yeah. Holy cow. Okay, yeah, let's put Elsha on here.
So we have a lineup. We have Elsha, we have Storm, we have who else?
We have
Kraken Sakashima.
And Flubs.
And Flubs, okay.
Flubs the Fool. Okay,
so this
that
is three
good.
Pods that we have right now.
Three down.
Best Storm, best Universes Beyond.
Best the One Ring deck.
Best the One Ring deck, okay. And we've met all of our criteria so far.
So far, we have included all of the decks that we need to. Now, we're going to get some new decks submitted for January, though, too.
Yes.
Is that something that we want to keep in mind? Because I don't know what those decks are going to be quite yet.
We could also just talk about the commanders that we want to play and just fill those pods for now. And then for those other ones, we can either move these down the line or swap them with something else or do something like that.
I still think that we should set up 6 themes because even if we don't record them in January, we should still record them and get them out this year.
Oh,
and then
yes.
We'll have them. So it's not necessarily like, we need to do these. This is flexible. And you know what? Someone might leave a comment that's a way better idea for one of these than we'll have. And that might make us change our minds as well.
Okay, that's good. That's
so good. I think just leaving flexibility for ourselves is best.
I like this. We do have a couple other ideas because we always have like theme backup ideas, but we haven't filled the slots yet.
We should talk about them. Yeah. One of them's Best Original Elder Dragon Commander.
Yeah. So this one would be kind of tricky because we only have realistically four options because the best one is Nicol Bolas. It's the only one that I think is actually playable or does anything reasonable. So I think we would have to take that one out of the equation and then just use the other four.
Which means that we would be building decks that would never see their commanders because they would be going off with combos well before you have the mana for these fucks.
Yeah, I think the best way that we could realistically do it is we would have to say X amount of cards in your deck must serve your commander, and the game plan must be to create the best deck possible that works with your commander. Like, it has to be almost CDH. We have to, like, move the goal ever so slightly of, rather than the best deck in your color combinations, the best grouping of cards that will allow you to cast your commander and win the game with your commander. Like, that would be the goal, but is that still CDH? Because then, like...
Well, it's not. It's high power. And then like, described high power.
That's high
EDH.
Power. Is that okay? Is that interesting?
Or I mean, it's our channel. We can do whatever we want, but, like...
Is that interesting to you?
Is it interesting to play Arcady's Sabbath?
What does it do?
That says 7/7 flying, and its mana cost is ungodly. Two green, two blue, and two white. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice it unless you pay green, white, blue. Each untapped creature you control gets +0/+2 as long as it's not attacking. And then for a white mana, Arcades can get +0/+1 until end of turn. Just in case 7 toughness isn't enough, you can bump them even more.
We are in a flawed situation
how would you like to build around this guy?
That's so funny. They are so laughably bad.
But they reprinted newer versions of
them. The newer ones are
them,
playable
right?
and good.
So
like
Arcady's decent. The Strategist is clearly not a CEDH deck, even though it does have some card draw. But like, we could build a Defender deck
and make
play
it
a high power casual deck with the new Chromium, the Mutable,
which
is also clearly not as good.
No matter what, there's no way to really make this CEDH, right?
But let me ask you this though, too. Okay. And this won't really change anything, but like, Dragonlord Ojutai, Galazeth Prismari, these are also Elder Dragons.
Yeah, Galazeth Prismari is?
Galazeth Prismari is. Actually, that entire cycle of dragons are considered Elder Dragons.
I didn't know that. Okay.
I don't think they are lore-wise as strong as Palladium Moors
or original,
any of them.
Yeah.
But they're there.
Let's backburner this idea. Let's backburner the dragons.
This seems like, if we were Commander at home, this seems like this would be a fun idea.
Yeah, I think let's see what other ideas we got.
Okay. Smallest Commander.
Yeah, Smallest Commander.
Smallest Commander.
Oh,
so
I think this one only works if you know the next one is Biggest Commander.
I guess that's true. Yeah. We would do a Smallest Commander and a Biggest
and
Commander.
And a Biggest Commander.
But I've noticed on some of these ideas that we have that when you say Smallest Commander, you mean in terms of them on the card?
Well, we could go both ways because we could do Smallest Mana Value and we could do a Rograk deck.
Okay,
we could do Smallest Lore-wise and maybe something like Grist. Grist is just a bug. Probably very small.
Grist is many bugs put together to be one thing, like a hive mind.
All right. Is the hive mind large or is it still bug size?
I think the hive mind, I don't know how many bugs are in Grist, but
I've been thinking
Grist
of Grist as being
large.
Very small this whole time.
Let's see.
Grist actually stands tall.
Let me Google canonical.
I don't know that I fully understood that Grist was Oogie Boogie from Nightmare Before Christmas. It's just full of bugs. I knew that, but I didn't really know that.
Oogie Boogie is full of bugs from
Oogie
the Night Before Christmas.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that movie in a billion years.
Spoilers.
The wiki doesn't just say
how
tall
he is.
Okay. Yeah.
We could do another commander that is quite small, or we could just do it mana value. I like thinking smallest is just like the smallest CDs, like lore-wise, the smallest ones. Like a Rograk deck would definitely be on one.
Oh,
on one
wait
right?
a minute. Wait a minute. Look at this picture from the wiki that says a Johnny meeting Grist.
And Grist is tiny.
And it's just literally a bug.
It's just
a bug.
Yeah.
All right. I will say Grist can be one of the smallest commanders.
And Grist, I think, is actually pretty good. I've seen Grist do some powerful things.
Yeah.
For Rograk, do we do Rograk Silas? I feel like we just could because then I can just play Rograk Silas. Or should we play another Rograk deck.
Is there another partner that's really small? Like, you had Rograk Francisco here.
Yeah, the parrot. Yeah. We could do Rograk Francisco.
And Francisco's small.
Francisco's just like a bird.
Who else is small, though? There's got to be
Yoshimaru is bigger than the parrot. The bird, the dog is bigger than the parrot.
Yoshimaru's still small, though.
Yeah, but a dog is bigger than a parrot.
Is a dog bigger than a parrot? Hmm. Yeah, all right. I think that's right.
Yeah, definitely dog is bigger than a parrot. Is there anything smaller than a parrot that has partner?
Is there anything with partner that's smaller than a parrot?
Do a quick check on that.
Yeah, let me.
Parrot's got to be the smallest partner besides.
All right, a partner.
Sometimes I wish the magic cards had heights like the Pokemon cards so we could see like how tall.
I know, right? Yeah.
Rograk is.
I don't want to just do bad ones, right?
Like who?
Like
who's smaller?
Like Ezior and Falsis.
Who?
They're a bird and a cat.
Oh, yeah. But a parrot is a bird, so same size. And okay. What's bigger, yeah, a cat or a parrot? I feel like most parrots are smaller than most cats. Like weight-wise, cats are definitely
true.
Way more.
Is a lizard bigger than a parrot?
Lizard might be smaller than a parrot. Shit, what's the lizard?
Kedis?
So oh, 1-1? Kedis Rograk is terrible, though.
What does that deck even look like?
Can we do Kedis Francisco? What is that? Does that do anything?
You would, if you had a way to get a +1/+1 counter on Francisco and deal combat damage.
That's not three explorers, is it?
It deals that much damage to each other opponent.
But, okay, but.
It's just not commander damage because it works with Malcolm. Yeah, uh-huh. You get the treasures
so Kedis
with Malcolm.
So Kedis would make Francisco deal damage to each player?
Kedis Francisco, yes. If you have a +1/+1 counter on
already
Francisco.
Already on it. How do you get one on it? Okay. I don't know. Is that any good?
That sounds bad. I think right now, Rograk Francisco or Rograk Silas are my two votes.
If we're keeping with the theme that we've had before, we're keeping CDH true to form. So Rograk is the small commander.
And we're just
Silas
focusing
doesn't do anything
on
anyway.
Rograk.
Yeah, it's just Rograk.
Rograk,
okay.
Yeah.
So Rograk, Grist, two outs. Who are two other small commanders? Can you think of any? Are there any fairies that are any good?
Nimris, but I don't think Nimris is any good.
You don't think Nimris is good?
No.
Talion. Talion's a fairy.
Talion is a fairy. How tall is Talion?
We can maybe just assume that Talion the fairy is small. I kind of always assumed Talion was big because 3/4.
You know what? Talion's art is not giving me any ideas.
They look large in the art, but.
And a 3/4 makes me assume, like a 4 toughness. Does not make me assume.
But it's a fairy. Fairies are small. That, boom.
That's agile. That's not tankiness. Like, defense is different than speed and agility.
Can you look
honestly
up how tall is Talion?
Typically, characters with speed are a lot less durable because they can't have such tanky armor. So I need to Google how tall is Talion.
How tall is Talion? If we don't have anything, then we get to guess. And if we get to guess, I say the fairy is small.
Which Talion? The Talion from Shadows of War, Middle Earth, because that Talion's anywhere between 5'10 and 6'2.
That's tall. Shit. Is it the same Talion?
No, it's not.
Okay, good. Any other Talions of reference?
Yeah, let me see. I guess if Talion's a fairy, Talion should be really small.
Okay. And what about Cody? Cody's just a book. Books are small.
Most books are small. There are some big books.
But even the biggest book is like no bigger than a parrot.
Cody's a book on a stand, though. Like, Cody's more than just a book.
Yeah.
Cody's a book on a stand.
Any commanders that are smaller than a book?
Ragavan.
Ooh, Ragavan weirdly makes sense as a commander.
I think so.
It's mana and card advantage all in one.
It's just not controlled card advantage.
Should we try to play Ragavan?
Let's do Ragavan.
That's funny. Is that good?
I wrote down books for some reason.
Ragavan is small.
I think Ragavan's small.
Are you going to play the Ragavan deck? You thought of it.
I guess.
You have to.
I could play Ragavan. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
oh,
good.
I'll crush you all with Ragavan. Yeah.
Fear of missing out is pretty good. 2 Ragavan hits.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. Just equip stuff up on Ragavan, I guess.
Okay.
Or not.
CDH, remember.
No, I know.
Yeah, Skull Clamp. You could equip Skull Clamp to Ragavan.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Draw
cards.
Draw 2 cards. Yeah.
That's good.
So smallest commanders are Rograk, Talion, Ragavan, and Grist.
That sounds right. Those are all small. Okay.
And then we have to do biggest.
Now we could interpret this Jeska Ishai.
In terms of gameplay.
Gameplay, big. We could also, I'm thinking,
Dargo has to be on here.
Dargo sucks so much without Dockside now, though, right?
People are still jamming Dargo. Yeah, okay. I've had a lot of people tell me that Dargo can still do a lot of crazy things.
Dargo with who? Dargo with Timna?
I would think that Dargo Timna would be the best.
I'd be willing to try Dargo with Timna.
All right, I'm down with that.
Dargo Timna, J- Jessica Ishai, The Frog, Yargle and Multani.
Should
we bring them back?
We could bring them back. They're not good.
But it's the biggest commander. Like, the biggest legendary creature.
In terms
it has
of
the
power
most power
and toughness, yeah. I feel like a Tali is also a big commander, though.
Yes, yeah.
A Tali's big.
And a dinosaur. Just, like, lore-wise, a Tali is one of the biggest.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of like a Tali being on here.
Yep.
Is it Traxa?
Oh, maybe it should be Traxa instead of Yargle Mutani. Yeah, I think Traxa, a Tali, Dargo, and Timna, and Jessica Ishai.
And then there's no room for Tivit.
Yeah, because we already have bigger stuff.
Yeah, we have bigger stuff.
Okay. Yeah, this one was way easier than smallest commander.
There's a lot more options for biggest commander. Like Korvold is also an option, although I guess no one plays Korvold anymore, so maybe Korvold's actually not an option. Shabraz?
Oh, yeah.
Brawlin and Shabraz,
Jessica
that's another
Ishai
one that
just
keeps
does
growing.
It better. Yeah, Jessica Ishai does it better.
I mean, now we also have like the Master of Keys. Like the Master of Keys can grow huge too. Is that in contention for the biggest?
We could maybe swap out Master of Keys with Jessica Ishai. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, okay.
Maybe that and get some more new stuff on the channel.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And maybe people, again, maybe people will have some more info for us that we don't know. And then we'll be able to make some more changes based on educated information.
We have one more that we want to try to lock in.
We have one more that we want to try to lock in because we're not going to do best original Elder Dragon Highlander commanders.
Not doing that one, yeah. Do we have any other down-the-line ideas in our to-dos?
Best Haymaker.
Ooh, okay.
But I don't really like that because that's kind of the biggest commander thing that we went with. Like, I feel like that's an either or.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it's an either or.
Best removal commander.
Ooh, this one could be a little bit better.
This one would make me happy that we take Jessica Ishai out of the other one and we can put like a Jessica deck in this pod.
What other ideas do we have?
Another best food chain deck round we could do.
Oh, we could do another best food chain.
Best underworld breach deck. Or the best, I guess we can't do what's the best Dockside deck. We haven't updated this in a little
bit,
I guess.
That doesn't work anymore.
Best deck that wins at instant speed.
Oh, Valley Floodcaller has changed the game a lot.
Quite a bit. Yeah, that match might be a bitch to play.
Best instant speed deck. What would be in the contention for best instant speed deck?
Well, it's just pretty much any deck that can win at instant speed. I feel like the first thing that comes up is Magda for me.
Magda, absolutely. I think Timna Thrasios has gotten quite good at being able to do that.
I think so too, especially like these Seedborn Muse decks that are also playing Valley Floodcaller.
The Seedborn Valley Floodcaller decks, yeah. What about Plagon? I feel like Plagon's pretty good at doing that.
How?
Being able to just draw cards at big bursts and just working well with Floodcaller.
But like, I guess that's
Hullbreaker Horror, it has Flash, but the rest of the combo doesn't unless you turn around with something else.
Plagon itself isn't really a part of that. That's just all of the blue-white combos being able to do that. And I feel like we're getting the same thing with Timna Thrasios and Timna.
Same thing, but like Urza doesn't work well with the One Ring, but the whole deck works with the One Ring. Kind of my thoughts like that. The whole deck with Plagon is in Flash, though, so it's not quite the same.
I would not say that the whole Plagon deck works with the instant speed nature of this.
I do think Timna Thrasios is good, though, because you also have access to crop rotation for Emergence Zone. You have a bunch of different ways to get that Flash speed.
Yes, I think so, too.
Magda, Stella.
Stella's a perfect
Stella's
one.
Another one.
Yeah, let's get Stella on here, yeah. More Stella Lee. I've been loving Stella Lee. I think that deck is so good. And I think we figured out when to interact with Stella Lee to stop Stella Lee. Yeah. Counter the thing that she copies.
Right. When she copies it.
When she copies it. Yes. Counter the copy of the thing that
Still counter the spell, not the copy.
No, counter the copy.
Counter the copy, not the thing that she's countering.
We're going to lose to that deck.
But we still don't know. We're going to move on.
Counter the copy.
Okay, if you say so.
No, because then the original goes off and then she can't tap to copy the thing anymore.
She can't do it again.
Because it's resolved and it's in the graveyard. Counter the copy.
Counter the copy, okay.
Counter the copy. Okay, what other decks are like known for being able to do their thing at instant speed? Normally, Sisay would be the other deck that I think of. Post-ban, I'm not as sure that that deck is Sisay.
I still think that it can be.
What I like about going with Sisay means that Stella Lee, Magda, and Sisay all do their own thing at instant speed, and we don't have to play what's the best Valley Floodcaller deck.
Derevi. Derevi works pretty well at instant speed.
Derevi can do things at instant
speed.
Because
you can put Derevi from your command zone into play at any time with that ability. With Guy's Cradle and Emil, you can add instant speed, make a whole bunch of mana, and win with any dump that you want, Fairy Mastermind or anything like that at instant speed. It's kind of convoluted, but there are lines, and we'll also have it already together for Best One Ring.
That's true. I do think that Sisse does that a little bit better, though.
You think?
Sisse's wins lines require a little bit less to set up, though, right?
Not exactly, because Sisse, you need to be able to cast Sisse and then make enough mana to find Derevi, where you already have Derevi. Sisse can find the other stuff, but at the cost of another bunch of mana. If you have Gaia's Cradle, it can be easier. If you have Agatha's Soul Cauldron, it can be easier. Sisse is probably a better deck, just because it has more colors. I don't know, they kind of both work. Like, Derevi, you can activate at any time, at any speed. But Sisse, you can activate also at any time, at any speed. Just Sisse, you have to cast first, whereas Derevi, you don't.
Yeah, Derevi just really only works with Preston. Like, you just kind of have to have Preston, but that is something that you can do.
I mean, we haven't seen Sisse on the channel since Doxade got banned, so we could just try Sisse.
Yeah, I don't hate that either, just so that way we can get to see the most amount of decks then,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, especially since you're winning more with the Bloom Tender stuff. Yeah, I could see it. I could see you wanting to lean into the Gaia's Cradle and the Derevi lines and it'd be more geared for that. So,
and that way we just have like a different other kind of win condition that's available in the pod too.
So we have Sisse, we have Magda, we have Stella Lee, and we have
Thrasios Timna.
Thrasios Timna.
The one Valley Floodcaller major deck.
Okay, fair.
Which is fair. Again, this isn't Stella the best Lee Valley Floodcaller deck. Yeah, but like Stella Lee, again, she can also do her thing at instant speed already. I guess Thrasios, we can also activate at instant speed, too.
We have six pods. Six
we have
themes?
Six pods, yeah.
Let's rerun them one more time, just to recap
them. So we got the best One Ring deck. That was Shorakai, Derevi, Urza, and Oswald. We got the best Universes Beyond Commanders, where we'll do Max and 11, Storm, the Master Transcendent, Aragorn the Uniter. We have the best Storm decks. That'll be Flubs the Fool, Storm, Kroken and Sakashima, and then Elsha the Infinite. Smallest Commanders that we'll do will be Rograk, Sylas, Talion, Ragavan, and then Grist. And then the biggest Commanders will be Dargoth, Timna, the Master of Keys, Atali, and Atraxa. The best instant speed deck, finally, to wrap it up, will then be Magda, Timna Thrasios, Stella Lee, and then Sisse. So these will be decks that we're looking to record in January, maybe into February, depending on how some things end up working out over the next couple weeks here. But very excited to get these done. I do want to do a lot more theme decks on the channel. I'll get back to a lot of that more.
Yeah, definitely. In the first 6 months of the year, for sure. Hopefully within the first 3 months, I would say.
That we'll get these on?
These on, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We better. Yeah, okay. We better.
Thanks so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Jude Knowles, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Philip, Olden Groupie, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Luke Cook, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Corno Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles, Go to 9, Kwaje, Ahmed, Lauren Connell, Scott Hawk, and Baby G-Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
Follow us on social media for more content.
Thank you so much for watching.
See you next time.
Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Hobo Ghost, Justin, Man Solo, Jacob Depp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
Okay. Recording.
Recording.
Checking. Says recording.
Here's where I'll be. Like this.
Your face is boxed.
Boxed
in.
Up.
What's in the box?
All right.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.